Man, what a song. We have a living hope. Not a dead hope, not a wishful hope, but a living and powerful hope based on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Tonight, if you have your Bible, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Oftentimes we look at Scripture, and as Christ followers, we want to find some exact principles, some things that answer questions. What should I do in this situation? And the Bible does address many, many situations in life directly that it says this is what you are to do. You're to forgive when people hurt you. You're never to repay evil for good, or for evil. You're supposed to repay good to evil. People that treat you poorly, you're supposed to pray for them. Those are specific things that we are to do, that it addresses it head on how we're supposed to live. But there are many things in life that we're going to face that are not directly addressed in Scripture. So there got to be some guiding principles, some truths to live by for Christians that when we get into a situation that especially in modern day times and just in life, Jesus knew that he wasn't going to cover everything that could happen, or potential things that could happen in life, and how you should deal with it, and give you a step-by-step in every situation of life. He gave guiding principles, things that we are to live by. And in this passage, we're going to look at six truths to live by that will help us navigate life, navigate circumstances, navigate situations in such a way that brings glory and honor to God. So if I title this, it's probably Six Truths to Live By. Because he's talking to his disciples, and it's very interesting the context in which he's doing it. He's in a very large crowd of people, but yet he draws his disciples to him, because in this large crowd of people, there are going to be people who believe, people who are skeptical, people who are calling them fakes and phonies. There are going to be all kinds of folks and all kinds of attitudes towards them, and possibly all kinds of circumstances that can come up. But Jesus also knows that shortly he's going to be leaving them, and he's not going to be physically with them anymore. The Holy Spirit is coming to guide them, but still they're going to have questions. They're not going to physically be able to stand before Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, what do we do now? So he's trying to teach them some guiding principles, some principles that will help them go through life and deal with these circumstances in a way that honors him and honors the Father. So if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 12, and we're going to come back and we're going to pick out these six truths to live by for a disciple. So if you would stand with me as we read God's Word. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on top of one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, or 2 small copper coins? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense, or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Let's pray. Lord God, our desire the passion of our heart, the reality of our life is that we want to honor you in every situation. God, we want to know how we're supposed to live. We want to know how we're supposed to respond. We want to know the principles that will carry us through these difficult days that are ahead of us as Christ followers. And how can we respond in a way that honors you? How can we live our life in a way that proclaims boldly the truth of who you are and what it means to be your follower? So God, tonight as we peer into your scripture, as we study the words of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts. And God, these would be truths that we will settle on, that these will be truths that we are governed by. These will be truths that will lead us through life, a life that honors you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In reading through these 12 verses, you may kind of think this is just kind of a hodgepodge of a whole different kinds of things he's saying here. And if you're not really careful and you don't really spend a little time and think about each individual one, what is he saying? Because all of these were said in the context of drawing his disciples away from the crowd and just trying to teach them how they're supposed to live, how they're supposed to respond, and what they're supposed to be like in the future. Now, Jesus knew that these many thousands, notice in verse 1 it says, in these circumstances where many thousands had gathered together, there were so many people they didn't have a count. There were so many people that they were standing on top of each other. There was a huge crowd of people around Jesus, and Jesus knew all these folks don't believe. All these people are not disciples. Some of them are here to see the show. Some of them are here to be healed. Some of them are here to see what the Pharisees are going to do. Some of them are here to see me put the Pharisees in their place. I mean, just be honest. I mean, wouldn't you like it? I mean, don't you like it when somebody has some authority and puts other people in authority in their place that are acting wrong? I mean, you just kind of get them. I can't do it, but you can. Get them. And you just kind of like to see that happen. Well, these people are no different. People are people, no matter when it is. So some were to see the show. Some were to see him putting the Pharisees in their place. Some were to see to receive healing. Some were actually there to hear the teaching. We're kind of intrigued. Some truly believed. But he drew the 12 out of this crowd, this huge group of people that was all vying for Jesus' time, and he takes this time to teach his disciples some very, very important truths, some things that they need to live by. So truth number one, found in verse 4. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Basically, he's telling them, guys, be real. Be you all the time. Don't say one thing in the crowd and say something different when you get behind closed doors. Don't be two-faced. Today's verbiage, we would say, be real. Be who you are no matter where you're at. Don't pat somebody on the back and then get behind them and start talking bad about them. Don't be a hypocrite. Be real. Be who you are. Good, bad, and ugly, be you. Don't put on airs. Because, he says, look, this is a principle that we need to be aware of. Verse 2 through 3 says, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be unknown. Accordingly, whatever you've said in the dark will be heralded or heard in the light. And what you've whispered in the inner room will be proclaimed or said out loud upon the housetops. He says, guys, you need to be real. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't go behind the doors and try and think nobody's going to hear you, because I will out you. God has a way of outing us. Things that we think nobody else knows about. Things that we think we've got hidden. Things that we think we're sneaking on. God allowed us. If we're his child, he's not going to let us run around in the dark doing things we shouldn't do, saying things we shouldn't say. He will out us publicly. You see it happen all the time. It happens to preachers all the time. We're not immune to being hypocrites. We're not immune to neglecting our time with the Lord and our relationship with the Lord and getting caught up in things that we shouldn't get caught up in and thinking we got it hid, thinking that we're okay, we got this covered, you know, nobody, and somebody finds out. God will out us. So the principle to live by is to be real. Don't be a hypocrite. Be who you are. If I can't say it any plainer, just be real. Be you. Now, don't use that as an excuse to be a sinner. Don't say, well, I'm just being real, you know, and this is just who I am, and you know, I can't change. No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't change who you are depending on who you're around. And that's something that I learned from a dear pastor friend of mine, Don Phillips. Don Phillips is Don Phillips wherever he's at. If he's standing on the praying before the Arkansas Congress, state Congress, he's Don. If he's talking to a congressman, he's Don. If he's talking to one of the lead pastors in the state, he's Don Phillips. If he's talking to you or me, he's Don Phillips. He's talking to a homeless guy and sharing a God, he's Don Phillips. He's Don Phillips wherever he is. And one of the biggest compliments I have towards Don is Don no matter where he's at. You get what you get. You get what you see. There's nothing fake about him. He don't put on any airs. He may dress up in a suit, but he's still just Don. And that's what I want to be. And that's what God is saying. Look, you be a follower of me no matter where you are. You be my disciple. You be real. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing and do something else. Don't say you believe this, but don't walk it out. Be real. Beware. Be on guard against hypocrisy. That is a truth we need to live by. If there would be less fake Christians, two-faced Christians, backstabbing Christians, gossiping Christians, if there would be less hypocrites in the church, God's work would get done a whole lot better. The world would have a much better attitude about God and about His church. We need to be real. We need to be people of God. The second truth is found in verse 4. Be wise. Verses 4 and 5. It says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that, have no more that they can do. But I'll warn you whom you are to fear. Fear the one who, after he's killed you, has the authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, he's saying, be wise. You got to understand who is in charge. You got to understand who you need to revere. You need to understand who you need to be afraid of, who you need to be worried about pleasing. Don't worry about pleasing people. The worst they can do is kill you. Okay? If you're my disciple, to be absent with the body, to be present with the Lord, the worst they can do is kill you. Which for a believer, if we really believe what we say, that's the best thing that ever happened to us. Be transported immediately to the paradise that we say we believe is called heaven. That we'll be at the feet of Jesus. That we will, if we truly believe what the Bible says, then the worst thing they can do is kill us, and that's really the best thing for us. But we don't live that way much, do we? We're so worried about people and what they think. Jesus tells them, look, I'll tell you the one you need to be worried about, the one you need to be afraid of. Now, there's two words he uses here for fear. One is fear, trembling, but one is reverence. And both of them are basically the same. We are afraid of those that we reverence, those that we think have power over us, that we think are somebody, that we think are important. We don't want to offend them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want to upset them. Man, we can't, you know, preacher, you can't preach like this because old so-and-so, he's a big tither. And if you talk about that, he's liable to get mad and leave. Well, the one that we need to fear, Jesus said, is not only the one that can kill the body, but after he's killed the body, can cast the soul into hell. That's the one you need to fear. That's the one you need to be afraid of. That's the one you need to please. That's the one you need to reverence. So don't worry about people. Worst they can do is kill you. You worry about God. Please Him. Because if you don't please Him, then He can cast your soul into hell. That's who we need. We need to be wise about what we're doing and who we're pleasing. We need to be wise about who we're concerned about. He says, be wise about where your passions and your fear and reverence is placed. The third principle or the third truth that we need to base our life on is that we are to be assured. Be assured. Verses 6 and 7. It says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents or 2 small copper coins? That's the 2 smallest coins that were available that day. The same 2 copper coins that the widow gave in the offering. The smallest amount of money you could imagine. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than the sparrows. And I say to you, we'll stop there. Be assured. You are loved. You're valuable. Don't think that God doesn't care about you. Don't think that God doesn't know. Don't think that God doesn't understand. Be assured that God knows and God cares and God is able and God is paying attention. See, one of the biggest struggles we have as Christ followers is when we begin to think that God has forgotten us. And it's easy. I'm telling you, as a pastor, it's easy at times. As just a person, it's easy to think, because I'm trying to do right and things just aren't working. I'm praying and I'm praying and praying. It seems like God's not listening. I've been going through this for so long, God. What are you trying to teach me? I just don't understand. And you think, well, then finally we get to the point where we say, God must have just forgotten about me. God doesn't care. God's not paying attention anymore. God's given up on me. Jesus tell him, look, no matter what goes on in life, no matter the circumstance, no matter where you're at, always remember, be assured, God cares for you. God's on top of this. God sees it. God knows it. God cares for you. You need to be assured of that. No matter what's going on, you need to be real. You need to be who you are in Christ. You need to be walking out your faith. Be wise in who you fear and who you reverence. Be wise in the one that you try to please. Be assured that you're always cared for. You're always valued. You're always loved. And then the fourth one, always be bold. Verse 8 and 9. I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. He said, always be bold. No matter what your situation is, you be bold in your confession of Jesus. Don't shrink back from people. Don't shrink back in circumstances. Don't sit down and be quiet. If anybody asks or any opportunity you have, you share the gospel. You tell them about Jesus. You always say, I am a follower of Christ. Be bold in your confession. You can never go wrong. It may not make your life simpler to be bold. It may not make your circumstances more pleasant or easier to be bold, but you can never go wrong. So Jesus tells them, always be bold. Now, does that simply mean when he says that if you confess me before men or if you don't deny me before men, does that always mean verbally? No, we can deny Jesus in a lot of ways. We can deny Jesus by our actions. When we don't trust that what God said he'll do, he'll do. So we start compromising. We don't walk by faith when we don't understand. We sit down rather than move forward and continue following when we don't see where this road is heading or what the outcome is going to be or how things are going to turn out. We stop trusting. That's denying Jesus. It's not just saying, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. It's living like you don't believe in Jesus anymore. Acting as though Jesus can't be trusted. Acting as though God is not real. We can deny Jesus in many, many ways. So, he says, be bold. Be bold in your confession. Be bold in your actions. Be bold in your faith. Follow me. The rule of thumb for a disciple is always be bold. Walk by faith and not by sight. The fifth is to be careful. Verses 9 and 10. or excuse me, verse 10. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful what we call of God and not of God. We need to be careful when God starts doing something that we're not used to, that we're not accustomed to. God starts doing things in a way that we've never done it before or seen it done before, and we start saying, well, that's not God. We do it all the time, especially when miracles take place. Or, I'm not saying that every time somebody speaks in tongues that it is of God, but we need to be careful by branding everyone who speaks in tongues not of God. I'm not a cessationist. I've got pastor friends who are that say that there are certain spiritual gifts that have ceased because they're no longer needed. I don't know. I hadn't found that in Scripture yet. So we're at this point in history, I'm going to stop doing this. So I can't say that they've ceased. I can confidently say that everybody who says they're speaking in tongues isn't speaking in tongues. Okay? But I can't say that everybody that does is not. That's something that God determines. So be careful. It's not just saying, I don't believe in Jesus, or refusing the call of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your heart. It can be that when God's moving in ways that we're not accustomed to, especially us Baptists, when God starts doing things that's not like we've always done them, that's outside the box, and we want God to stay in His little box, and we start saying, well, that can't be of God because God's never done it that way here. That can't be of God because it's too far out there. We need to be careful. We need to judge every spirit, absolutely. We need to be careful in what we say is of God. We need to be careful what we say is not of God. We need to be careful. We need to look at every spirit. We need to look at every event. We need to look at everything that is said is of God. And we need to carefully analyze it. We need to carefully see. God will prove if it's of Him or not. But don't just carpet say, well, this can't be of God, period. Unless it's completely against Scripture. It's against God's nature. I've had people say before, well, you know, they're leaving their spouse for another person and say, well, you know, God's just brought this person out. No, God didn't do it. I can guarantee you God didn't do that. That's not of God, because it goes against everything Scripture says about marriage. God's not going to counteract himself. He's not going to contradict himself. But if we need to be careful. When we say, God would not do this way. Because He might. He might. But He'll never go against Scripture. So we need to be careful. Because there are a lot of false teachers out there. There are a lot of charlatans out there. There are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to be careful. Then the sixth one is found in verses 11 and 12. Be confident. Be confident, not in ourselves, but confident in God's faithfulness. Verse 11 and 12. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. He said, look, be confident when it seems like the world is against you. When you're brought up before these leaders and rulers, when you're brought before the court, when you're brought before the judgment seat for following Christ, and they're bringing you up on false charges, they're bringing you up for doing what you know is right. He says, don't worry. Be confident that God will give you the words to say in your defense. May not change the outcome, but they'll get to hear the truth. And that's what's more important. May not change the outcome, but they'll hear the gospel. May not save your life, but if they kill you, you're going to be automatically, instantly in heaven as a believer, and they'll hear the gospel. And that's what matters. So six truths, six principles, six things that can govern our lives no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we face, no matter where we're at. We need to, as followers of Christ, we need to be real. Don't be hypocrites. Don't say one thing now and with a different group act a different way. You be a Christ follower no matter where you are. Be real. Be wise. Understand that some people aren't going to like you, but you're not here to please God. You're here to please, or please man. You're here to please God. And He's the one that you need to fear. He's the one that you need to honor. He's the one that you need to revere. Be assured that you are always loved and cared for. Be assured that God is always watching over. Be assured that God is always present. Be assured that God is faithful. We should always be bold. We aren't given a spirit of fear and timidity, but one of boldness and a sound mind. We are to be bold, always bold in our faith, bold in our witness, bold in our actions, bold in our living. Not abrasive, not hateful, but never scared and never shrinking back. Always, always being bold. We need to be careful. Careful what we believe, careful what we say is of God, and careful what we say cannot be of God. We need to judge every spirit according to the Word of God. And then we need to be confident. No matter where we are, we need to be confident that God is faithful. That God's right there with us. That God's Word is always right. We need to have confidence wherever we are that God is able. And our greatest accomplishment is to share the gospel no matter the outcome. Be confident in God. And no matter where you are, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, as a follower of Christ, these things will lead you to glorify God. These six truths, these six principles, these six laws to live by. God will be glorified, and we'll be able to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in to thy master's rest." Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful that we're not left here as orphans,